Today's scripture comes from the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, Then how were your eyes open? He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Manny. That was an excellent job of reading. You get an A plus today. If you don't know who I am, I think most of you know who I am. I'm Pastor Joe. I usually work with the children's ministry. It's a wonderful place to work. I get to hear a lot of incriminating details about how you guys parent your children. They say the darndest things, don't they? All right. But it's fun. It's fun. If you ever want to stop by sometime, please feel free. All right? It's always open, open invitation to any of you, whether you have children or not, to stop by and just kind of see what we do back there. It's always great to be able to speak with you guys and share different parts of God's word that are on my mind. And today we're going to look at a story of a blind man. And when I read this, when I looked at it, it was very eye-opening. Ha, ha, ha. This is what we do in children's ministry. We make jokes. All right, but I always forget. Does Susan usually pray when he starts or no? Does he just go right in? He just goes right in? All right, we're going to do the opposite of everything Susan does, and we're going to pray before we begin, all right? So pray with me one more time, and we'll get into God's word. Lord, we thank you for your word. It is good. It is rich. It fills us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see through this story, the things that you would want us to know and the ways in which you'd want us to live. Be with us and let your spirit speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we look in this word, John chapter 9, verse 1, the story begins with a man who is born blind. It says a man blind from birth. And of course, it doesn't take much for us to realize that being blind would be a pretty terrible situation, right? Let's do a simple activity, all right? Everyone, close your eyes, all right? It'll just be for a moment. But imagine you were blind. Right? At first, you might think, oh, this is great. I can just sleep through the sermon and no one's going to know, right? But if a few moments later I asked you to open your eyes and it was just darkness, right, then that wouldn't be so fun, would it? Right? You'd probably start with a bit of panic and anxiety, fear. Eventually, that would lead to maybe depression or anger. Why is God doing this? You can open your eyes if you're still closing. Right? But it would lead to those things, right? It would be a very scary thing. And to live with that your whole life, it's almost unimaginable. It's almost unimaginable. And something like that happening in our lives, or if some bad thing happened in my life, usually it would lead us to the question, why God? Right? Why God has this thing happened to me? Right? I'm sure this family was asking, why God did this happen to my son? Right? I'm sure the man must have asked many, many times, why God has this happened to me? Right? And of course, blindness is terrible, but in our lives, there are so many different terrible things where we ask this question, right? Why? Why? whether it's some relational issue, maybe you are at odds with someone in your family or one of your friends. Maybe it's some health condition that just sprang up out of nowhere, or some money problem, some issue with finances, or maybe it's just something with loneliness or something else. But whatever the situation, whatever the terrible thing is that goes on in our lives, right, all these things make us ask why. Right? And we ask, and some of us curse God, some of us question God, some of us pray to God, and we ask the question, why? Why? All right, so as we go into this sermon, right, somewhere in the sermon, we're going to talk about, you know, why do bad things happen? Right? And of course, obviously, we can't address, you know, the entirety of that type of question. But I do want us to look at one answer to that question. Right? And the Bible answers that question from many different angles and in many different ways. Right? But today, I just want us to look at one. And it's a pretty interesting answer that Jesus gives to why bad things happen, or why this man was born blind, why terrible things might happen in our lives. And I want us to look at that. All right, so let's look at the question first of all. Right? Verse 2, right, and his disciples. Right? And before I go into the passage, one more thing. This chapter is this long story, and there's all these different characters involved. There's these Pharisees, there's the disciples, there's Jesus, there are these crowds. And there's a lot going on, and I encourage you to read this, because there's a lot that speaks to our time and our age. All right, so that's your homework. All right, so go and read the rest of it. But today I want to primarily focus on the man, right, from the man's perspective, what the heck is going on. All right, so I'm going to look at this man, and we're going to just kind of follow his story. All right, so verse 2, and his disciples, okay, so Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Okay, and when I read this, I looked at it, and I thought about it, and I studied it, and I was like, man, this is a deeply significant question for our time. Right? This question that the disciples asked, you know, they asked it way back then, right? But today, 2023, this is a deeply significant question. Let me read that verse one more time. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? All right, and let me break it down to you for you. If you're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Joe? What are you talking about? All right, why is this significant? All right, what this question is asking is one of two things. All right, he's asking Jesus, is this personal responsibility, or is this person a victim? Okay, is this man personally responsible for what's happening to him, or is he a victim of somebody else? Are you guys starting to feel this? Why this is culturally appropriate for our time? All right, if you need a little bit more insight into what I'm talking about, right, we might ask in our day and age, right, is this person with this skin color kind of dark, is that person, is it their fault that they're where they're at in life? All right, do they not work hard enough? Do they make wrong decisions? Or is that person, are they a victim? Is it someone else's fault, different skin color? Is there some systemic thing that's going on that makes it, you know, the system's fault or this other person's fault that other person is the way that they are? Okay, pretty relevant, right? Pretty relevant, because we're asking this a whole bunch and we're basically tearing up our country over a question like this, right? And the whole world is kind of dealing with this at the same time, okay? So when we see this question, hopefully you're like, whoa, okay, there's something that our world needs. Maybe there's something that I need to see from this question. Okay, and just as much as our culture, our world needs an answer to this question, right, also just as we talked about individually, we also need an answer to this question, right? Whether it's relationships, family, money, health, whatever terrible thing that you might be experiencing, like what is going on here? Right, God, did I do something that I'm suffering? Or, you know, is it someone else that did something? Like, what's going on here? Okay, so this is a very honest question, right? And there's a lot to explore here, right? There's a lot to explore here. All right, so are you curious what the answer is?
Yeah, okay,
I'm kind of curious, all right? So let's read, okay, verse 3, and this is where Jesus comes in. Jesus doing his Jesus things, all right, always coming out of left field, all right? So Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Right? The NIV says, neither. It's neither A or B. Right? But the answer is that the works of God might be displayed. Okay, so think about that for a second. All right, there's other explanatory power to why this man is wrestling with this issue. That his entire life, okay, not just a month, not just a week, not just, you know, a couple of days, years upon year, decade after decade, he's been suffering, right? And not just him, I'm sure his whole family is suffering, taking care of him, right? Decade after decade, right? And here Jesus says, it's not the parents' fault, it's not his fault, right? But there's another reason, right? The reason is that the works of God might be displayed in him. Right? And as Christians, right, we need to wrestle deeply with this answer. Right? There's a lot to think about in that. Okay, because when I read this, you know, I had a number of different reactions to it, right? And some of them positive, some of them negative, right? But let me go over three negative reactions, okay? And if you're wondering where we're going in this message, okay, I'm going to start with point one is the question. All right, I'm going to talk about this. That's the longest point. Point two will be the cure. Point three will be the purpose. All right, point two and three will go really fast. Point one, all right, we're getting into right now. All right, so the reaction, okay? So I had three different reactions that we could just think about, you know, just off the top of my, not off the top of my head, but just that I thought about. All right, and reaction number one is, you know, God saying this, God is a jerk. And if you're this man, or if you're in this troubling situation, like, this is a real reaction that you can have to hearing something like this, right? That the works of God might be displayed, right? God is a jerk. He let this man be blind his whole life so that God could be a hero for him. Like, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right. Like, God allowed this to happen, or God, or maybe God caused this to happen. Right, is there even a difference there? Okay, and I thought about that for a while, and I thought about, I had this story in my mind that I gave in a different sermon a long time ago, and it was a picture of my dad teaching me how to ride a bike. Okay, my dad teaching me how to ride a bike, and this is going to kind of go over the difference between God allowing something to happen and God causing something to happen, because that's a very important distinction. All right, when I was young, way back in the day, okay, apparently before they had like helmets and elbow pads and knee pads and like wisdom, all right, we'd learn how to ride bikes right in the middle of the road on the concrete, all right. There's not like, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea if we did this on the grass or something, right? No, we're gonna learn how to ride the bike, and you're gonna do it over concrete, all right? Right in the middle of the road, cars driving by. That's okay, right? Because this is like a long time ago, and no one cared about kids. All right, so, you know, of course, my dad, it was the old school method where, I don't know, there's so many, like, technologies for bikes now. They have, like, kick bikes, kick scooters, where they don't have, you know. It's like, wow, I didn't have that when I was a kid. That would have been nice. All right, but I just, like, my dad would just grab onto the back of the seat, and then he would, you know, run after me, and I would just be pedaling, and I'd just be looking forward all nervous, and I'd be riding, and I'd be like, Dad, you still there? He'd be like, yeah. Like, Dad, you still there? I'm like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, Dad, you still there? And he'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, wait a minute, right? Something's not right anymore, because it's like he sounds awfully distant, right? And I would look back. And when I looked back and I saw that my dad was down the street, I was like, what the? Whoa. Okay, and all of a sudden everything's out of control and the wheel's like getting all wobbly. And I'm going like right straight into a car or something, and you fall, right? And I fell, I'm like, ah, you know, scraping my elbows and all stuff. My dad runs up, takes me, he's like, are you okay? All right, get up, let's do it again. You know, so, like, you know, it's crazy stuff like that, but what's going on there? What's going on there, right? You know, in my mind as a little kid, if I was wise enough, I could be like, Dad, you're a jerk. Why did you do that? How could you let me fall? Right? But my dad allowed that to happen for a purpose, right? It wasn't that he, like, intentionally like pushed me over or, you know, thought the worst things, like, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's watch this. You know, we didn't have phones back then, but okay, let's watch this, put it on Instagram. All right. Like, let's watch him cry, you know, and then I'd go on that, whatever, Instagram, kids hurting themselves, hashtag or whatever. So there was a purpose, though, right? There was a purpose, right? My dad allows this to happen so that I can experience the beauty or glory of riding a bike. Right? And without allowing that experience, allowing hardship to happen, allowing failure to happen, I could never experience what it would mean for many years after that to ride around the neighborhood, cause all kinds of trouble, you know, play with my friends. We did all kinds of stuff, but that's a different sermon, right? You know, just ride around and just enjoy this beauty of being free and riding this bike and just benefiting from all the things that come from that. Right? So for me, my dad allowed it so that I could experience something that I could never experience unless I went through that pain. All right, so is that possible with God? Of course that's possible. Right? I mean, for us, we're just so small-minded, we can just think of the now. It's like, right now I'm in suffering. Right now I'm in pain. God, you know, and we get all angry. Like, God, why are you such a jerk? Right? Without being able to foresee something, like my dad could see something that I couldn't. Right? And maybe God can see something that we can't, that we can experience, some joy, some glory that we could never understand. All right? Reaction number two. All right. You know, God does this all so that the works of God might be displayed. All right, that sounds pretty unfair, man. Sounds unfair. All right, doesn't this person have rights? We're big on rights, right? Everyone's got to have rights. But we got to think beyond just our rights, all right, just beyond human rights. Right? Doesn't the Creator also have some kind of rights? If there is a God, right, the Creator has some kind of rights. Right, imagine, you know, I don't know, just one book, Harry Potter, right? Story. Imagine if the characters in the Harry Potter movie or book or whatever you guys do went to J.K. Rowling, right, the author of that series, and said, "This is unfair! How could you make me, you know, suffer? How could I be the bad guy? Or how could this happen? Right? Why is it that the boy gets to win in the end? This is unfair." Right? If you could see this interaction between the characters and the author, like, you'd be like, this is nuts. Like, how can the characters even like think that, like, because the author has rights over the characters? Because it's kind of the author, that's kind of the thing they do. Right? And does the author have a purpose? Yeah, throughout the series, you know, J.K. Rowling wants to craft a story about love, loyalty, friendship, good winning over evil. And there's a purpose to this story. There are morals. There are intricacies for, you know, the culture to for the world to understand, you know, what is right and what is wrong. And that's all part of this story that happened. Okay? So just as much as people have rights, and fortunately we do, right, the Creator also has rights. Reaction three, last reaction I'll give you guys. We might react, God is selfish, wanting to use this man to display his works. Right? God is being so selfish. Right? And what even are these works? And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, maybe before we get to the works of God, maybe it's important to ask the question, you know, what is the character of God? What is the character of God? Who is God? Who is God? All right, to better understand what he's going to do. All right, and if you read through the Bible, if you have lived as a Christian, right, hopefully you realize that God is love. Right? And, you know, all the things that follow alongside that. God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All these wonderful things about who God is, right? Then obviously, if that is God, then the works of God flowing from that character must be good. Must be good. It must be good. Right? If we changed it all around, right, and we, you know, did whatever we wanted or whatever this man wanted, I don't want to be born blind. I want a high-paying job. I want a beautiful husband or wife. I want two perfect kids. I want a perfect white fence. I want whatever car I want to drive. I want, you know, maybe I want a beach house as well. And I want to go to whatever school I want to go to, right? That person maybe never knows God, never sees God. And Mark chapter 8 says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Okay, what do we gain if we get everything that we want and we never realize that God is really what we need? Okay, so yeah, so three reactions, right, that we could possibly have to Jesus saying, but this happened that the works of God might be displayed in him. All right, so if we walk away from this point, hopefully two things can come out of this point. One, hopefully we can have a thicker faith that God's works can be displayed in us. Right? Maybe you're suffering. Right? Hopefully you can have a thicker faith that God's works can be displayed in you. Right? And maybe this is through a miracle, right? Hopefully. Right? But maybe this is just through something simpler. Maybe this is God's works for you are peace or a patience or a joy. Okay? The glory that needs to be revealed to the world is more than just miracles. Right? Miracles are great. Miracles are wonderful. I know some people in this room have had amazing miracles happen to them. You know, go tell that story on the mountain. Right? But just as much, right, when we have stories of God walking with us, or people walking with us, the church walking with us, giving us peace, giving us joy, patience through a situation, those are stories that we need as well, right? And those are beautiful things as well, right? And that glory needs to be revealed to everyone, right? So hopefully we can have a thicker faith. And if this is a struggle to us, number two, you know, I just want to tell you guys, or you know, as I'm standing here, I'm not just standing here to tell you what to believe and tell you what to do. You know, if you're struggling and it's hard and it's terrible and you don't just suck it up and just believe that God's doing some work in you, then, you know, too bad for you. Right, that's not the point of what I'm trying to do up here or what the Bible's trying to portray to you. But I want us to talk about it, and I want us to communicate about that. And I want us, you know, all throughout the Bible, there are people that suffer and talk to God and wrestle with God. Right, and God never rejects these people. Right, this is an entirely valid place to be, right, to go to God, right, and walk together. Right, so, you know, if I give this message, and you still are at a place where like I just can't. What is this God? Right, then let's walk together. Right, let's pray together. Right, this is what our GLFs, our small groups, are for. Right, this is what our LOLMD groups are for. This is what the church is for, right? So that we can walk together through these things and struggle together through these things so that we're not alone. All right, let's get to the second point. And as I said, these are faster. All right, the cure. All right, verse 6. Having said these things, he spit on the ground. All right, that's Jesus spitting on the ground. All right, and made mud with the saliva. All right, Jesus must have a lot of spit. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay. Think about this scene. Okay. When you realize what's going on here, this has got to be like the most ridiculous method of healing that, you know, you could ever come up. Like, you can't even conceive of this stuff, right? Like how does Jesus like come up with this? Did he like plan this in advance, like before time began? He's like, one day I'm gonna spit on the ground, I'm gonna heal someone. Watch this, right? And was that a thing, or did he just like come up with it like right there and then and there? But it's weird. It's weird, especially in a day where, you know, we're supposed to follow the science, you know, and just be wise about everything that we're doing, right? This would be absolutely ridiculous, right? Jesus would have been crucified if he was in modern times, right? We talked about this passage in children's ministry, and I asked the children, you know, what would you do if Jesus spit on the ground, made mud, and put it on your face, right? And kids, they're awesome, all right? One of the kids, you know, raised his hand, all right, and I called on him, like, what would you do? And you're like, I would punch Jesus. All right, parents in the room, you can guess who that was. You're probably right. All right, I would punch Jesus, right? Because that's kind of, sort of offensive, right? I don't know. All right, that method is just out there. Okay, that's all I want to point out. The method is so far out there, either you have to have faith in it, faith in Jesus, or you don't, right? When by the time Jesus tells you, now go wash in the pool, all right, you're either going to have faith, like, okay, or you're not, right? And I'm sure, you know, if that actually happened in this room, a lot of us would just, like, walk away and be like, what the? And like swear word, and like, you know, like what was that? Okay, but for, you know, hopefully some of us, we'd actually go to the pool and come back seeing. All right, so that's the cure. Weird, strange, right? Bizarre way that God works. All right, point three. Ooh, that was really fast. I think that's a record point, right? Time wise, that was like 30 seconds. All right, the purpose. I'm going to fly all the way down to verse 35, okay? So as I said, I'm skipping a lot. I'm following this man's journey, okay? A lot of stuff happened, okay? Jesus heard that they had cast him out, okay? The teachers of the law, they cast him out. They're like, man, you know, whatever happened, you're like a sinner, and this can't be real. So they cast him out, okay? Basically, in today's terminology, they would have canceled this man, okay? So they canceled this man. They cast him out. All right, Jesus found him, and Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Right, I mean, obviously, this guy was blind, so he didn't know what Jesus looked like. So Jesus came around, and, you know, so now he's there. And who is he that I might believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. All right, so what's the purpose? Why did God do all of these things to this man? All right, and simply, I wrote, purpose was for transformation. Purpose was for transformation. Okay, and there are two transformations going on here, right? One is blind man seeing, right? And the other transformation was someone who didn't know Jesus knowing Jesus, worshiping. Right? There's a visual transformation, a vision transformation, and there's a heart transformation. Okay. And what I notice in the Bible is many times God uses the things that we can see to show us what we cannot see. Okay, many times, like a lot of the stories, a lot of the miracles that are happening in the Bible are there to show us with things that we can see, the things that we cannot see. Okay, so here this man is blind and now he can see, right? But the real vision that he needs is not his sight, right? But what he really needs to see is Christ with his heart. Okay, you have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you. Right? And he believed. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Right? He came to a point in his life where he knew something greater than he could ever know on this. There's nothing on this earth that compares to knowing Christ. Right? There's no money, no person, no activity that compares to knowing who Christ is and the eternity that belongs to that. Right? So what is 20, 30, 40 years of suffering compared to an eternity of pleasure? Right? It's the transformation, the purpose, transformation. Okay, so if it's us, right, let me start to wrap things up. Right? Maybe you have something, again, in your life that is hard. Right? And you know, usually I put us into two different boats when I think about a question like this. You know, one, we're currently suffering, right? And you know, hopefully this is a balm to your soul. Hopefully this is something that will help you. And if you're not suffering, if everything's great, you know, like, wrestle with this and put this somewhere deep in your heart so that when suffering does come, suffering's gonna come, right? You're gonna walk right here and you're gonna trust the Lord with a deep faith. All right, but you may have something in your life that sucks, that's terrible. Right? In all reality, right, questions one and two, like, those are real questions. Right? I'm not discounting those and saying, you know, don't even think about like whether it's your fault or someone else's fault. Those are real questions that demand real answers. And you know, in other situations, the Bible addresses those kinds of questions. Right? And you know, in your life, whatever the situation might be, right, the questions one and two, they probably have something to do with why you're suffering, right? I make a lot of dumb, bad decisions, right? And, you know, that's probably a lot of why I'm suffering. But we also need to hear number three. Okay, we also need to hear number three. This happened that the works of God might be displayed in you. All right, but how does he do that in my life? All right, where is it? Where is it? One way he does it, right? There's probably going to be many ways that he's going to approach your life and let the work of God be displayed through you. One way, right? He does it in a more foolish way than spitting and making mud, right? One way is he does it through the cross, right? 1 Corinthians says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So if you think the mud on the ground is foolishness, right, the cross is equally probably a greater foolishness. I mean, who could have ever thought that one up? Right, but Jesus was pierced. His blood was shed so that we could be covered with his blood. Greater than mud. Right, and the purpose of his blood is transformation for you, for me. And as new creation, as we go out into the culture, we can be free. Right? We can be free. Free from this burden of depression or wondering or constant. And we can be free to bless maybe those who have sinned against us. We can be free from ourselves. Right? Because sometimes us blaming ourselves is the worst depression that we can experience. Right? I still blame myself for doing stupid stuff. One small, stupid, silly thing I did a long time ago. And I'm a bad Korean. Right? And you know in Korean, like, they go like, 안녕하세요, right? And they bow, right? And when I was young, like, that's all you did because everyone was older than you and you're supposed to bow to young people, right? So I was, like, so good at bowing. My friend in college was tutoring this young Korean girl and she said 안녕하세요 to me. And I, like, looked at her. I'm like, 안녕하세요. I'm like, why did I do that? Right? And I still regret it to this day, and I beat myself up over it. Like, why am I so dumb, right, that I can't even, like, make the right moves? Like, but there are other things that are more serious, right? But sometimes it's just ourselves that we need freedom from, right? And, you know, if we've made a huge mistake, huge transgression, huge sin, you know, it's through Christ's blood that we can see that we're free to be free in Christ. We can transform our hearts and trust God that sin is on the cross. We can bless those who persecute us. We can turn the other cheek. Isn't that a message for our day and age? Right? All the people that are over here, I'm a victim. Right? What if all those victims could say, I'm a victim, but I still love you and I forgive you? Right? So I wish all our churches could say that. Instead of just complaining and whining and saying, where's this? I deserve this. I deserve that. I want this. I want that. All right? Christ is not sitting on the cross saying, I deserve this. I deserve that. I'm a victim. Jesus is saying, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Right? This needs to be the heart of the Christian. Right? The foolishness of the cross. Forgive them. Forgive them. We answer with love, with peace, with the joy of Christ. Right? Let me finish up. Finish up with the story. I'll lighten things up, right? I've been kind of heavy. Right? It's a heavy topic. Right? Let me finish up with a quick story. Many of you guys know I have a dog this big. His name is Dash. Dash is a cute dog. All right, maybe the cutest dog. Didn't have a successful Instagram career. We started a little bit late, but he could have been that. All right. But Dash is a good dog. He's a boy, and he's a very typical boy. Right? There's a lot of things that he loves. He loves to go on walks. He loves to eat. He loves a belly rub. He loves all these things, right? But as a typical boy, right, there's a lot of things Dash hates. Right? Dash hates everything to do with cleaning or grooming or whatever. Right? Boys, if it was up to us, we'd never have taken a shower in our entire lives. Right? But this is Dash, right? If it was up to him, he'd never want a haircut. He doesn't like getting his nails clipped. He doesn't like having his teeth brushed. He doesn't like having his fur brushed. He doesn't like anything like that. Right? But out of all those things he hates, there's one thing he hates the most. And the thing that he hates the most, right, and this is probably genetically passed down from Esther and I, right, he hates to go to the vet. Right? Esther and I hate the doctor, and somehow he got that vibe, right? And he hates the vet. Right? And you might be wondering, how do we know this? How do we know that he hates the vet? Okay. When we're getting to go to the vet, all right, we get everything ready, put his collar on. He's getting all excited, like, oh, something exciting is happening, right? We go outside. He does his business. He jumps in the car. He's ready, right? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're all going together. Right, this is fun, right? We go out on the small roads before you get to the main road. Right? And when we get to the main road, we either go left or right, okay? Left means everything's good. Something good's gonna happen. The only reason we go right is guess, to go to the vet. Okay, that's the only reason. Okay, and this is like miles away. Okay, it's not like, okay, we're driving and it's just like, you know, done. It's miles away. Okay? When we get to that intersection, if we go left, all is good. Right? If we turn right, he immediately starts shaking. He's like, he knows. He knows, right? Lately, our dog is like 12, almost 13. Right? He's an old guy, and he's had some health issues, right? And when we were in Korea, Pastor Susung Elizabeth's daughter, Pastor Susung's daughter Elizabeth was taking care of Dash. Some things were happening. We're like, okay, go to the vet, it started this, finding out like what was going on. So like they did all these tests. And we're in Korea talking on the phone, like $1 a minute. We're like, hello, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, we have to do this, this, and this. And we're like, well, how much does it cost? And they're like, hum, 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 hum. It was a really long number. And we're like, do it. Do it. Okay? So we're like, okay? We're this. Okay? All over Dash. Right? And Dash is, okay? He hates the vet. He's shaking the whole time. And, we come back from Korea, and then, we're going back and forth to the vet almost weekly, sometimes two times a week, okay? And every time he's shaking, and he's scared, he's nervous, like he's getting poked and prodded, and things are going in him at different places, and temperatures are getting read through various holes. He's not having a good time, right? And we're throwing money every time. He's got to get a blood test every single time he goes in, right? And, we're... We could have bought like 10 dogs or like designer dogs. We could have bought so many dogs, but we're showering this pet with money, right? But does Dash understand what's going on here? Obviously not, right? It's like, why? Human, why? Why do you keep bringing me to this place where they make me suffer? Why? All right, but one thing, to Dash's credit, is he never bites the hand. He's always trusting. Right? Even though he's in the place he hates the most, he's trusting. I don't know why. Dogs are amazing. If I were God, I would have chosen dogs before humans, because they're just better at life. Right? But he doesn't bite the hand. He trusts. Right? When we go home, he's not all angry and bitter, right? But he trusts, and he continues to stay close. And much of the time, This needs to be our reaction towards God in whatever situation we're in. Trusting God's hands, knowing that he's leading, knowing that he's with Jesus's life. He paid out more than any of us ever deserved. And that's all showing the character and love of God that he has for us. And hopefully you guys see that. And I know if you're going through something hard, that's a hard thing to believe, hard thing to understand. Right? But just stand there in faith, right? And stand there with others. Right? If you're suffering alone, please find someone in this room. Find me. Right? Let's talk about it. Let's pray together. Let's walk together. Because right? All of us, I mean, have gone through something. Right? And sometimes even that is enough to know that God is near. All right, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's finish up. Lord, we thank you for the God that you are, the love that you've shown. And Lord, maybe there are some of us in this room that are experiencing or going through very difficult times. Please be there for us. Open our eyes so that we might know that you're near. And Lord, maybe we know someone that's suffering in this room. And maybe you're calling us to be there for them and be your hands and feet and to love them and to let them know that you're near. Regardless, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who paid the price, who offered his blood over our souls so we could know you, so we can have a greater reward than this world could ever give. Lord, help us to trust. Help us to have faith, a deep faith in you. A faith that cannot be shaken, and a faith that maybe the world can't understand. And in that faith, Lord, let your glory be displayed to the world. Lord, we ask for courage in this. We ask for strength in this. And Lord, we just bow down to you and come before you, just seeking more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.